I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 1. You know, while the kids were up here and the hearing about the Vacation Bible School and the workers seeing the youth, the children, I was so blessed to see what the Lord was doing in their lives and what the Lord has done in their lives during this weekend or this week. And I'm thankful for the parents allowing their children to come. And if there's any parent here this morning, and they brought their children, they're new in the church, we welcome you this morning. And I was just reminding, I became a Christian at the age of 28, and I have never had an opportunity to be in a Vacation Bible School and to hear about the Lord at a young age. And what a blessing to know that, the sanctity of life. God created us. We were wonderfully made in the womb of our mothers. And that really strikes me because when I was 26 and 27 years old, I was not sure, like Haley said, if I came from a monkey. I was not sure. But then at the age of 28, I made a decision for Jesus. And I'm so thankful because we want to be godly parents. We want to teach our children, our grandchildren, the ways of the Lord, and they'll make a decision. You know, in our story this morning in 2 Kings chapter 1, the title of this message is The Mistake of King Hezekiah and His Servants. King Hezekiah came from Ahab, his dad and mom, Ahab and Jezebel. They were evil. They were the kings of Israel. But now Ahab and Jezebel had passed away. And there's a new king on the scene, the king of Israel, reigning from Samaria. His name is Ahaziah. So we're going to read the mistakes of Ahaziah and his servants. So I want you to stand this morning. Let's read 2 Kings chapter 1 as we read. If anybody does not have a Bible, please raise your hand. All right, 2 Kings chapter 1. It says, then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah, this new king, fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. Verse 3, but the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, is it not because there's not a god in Israel that you go to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus says the Lord, thou shalt not come down from the bed on which you are gone up, but you shall surely die. And Elijah departed. And when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, why are you now turned back? This was the king asking the messengers, why have you turned back so quickly? Verse 6, and they said unto him, well, there came a man up to meet us and said unto us, go, turn again unto the king that sent you and say unto him, thus says the Lord, is it not because there's not a God in Israel that you sent to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, you shall not come down from your bed on which you have gone up, but you shall surely die. Verse 7, and he said unto them, what manner of man, the king asked, which manner of man was he which who came to meet you and told you these words? And he answered him, that is the messengers, he was a hairy man, and he had a belt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Elisha the Tishbite, the king responded. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat, that is Elijah, on top of a hill. And he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king has said, come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and your 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And again also he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto them, verse 12, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and your 50 men. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And then the king sent again another captain, a third one, a captain of 50 with his 50. What a moron, huh? And the third captain of the 50 went and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, Let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in your sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven, the captain said. And the two captains, the former, their 50s with their 50s, let my life now be precious in your sight. Verse 15, and the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. And he said unto him, that is Elijah, thus says the Lord, for as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore thou shalt not come down off that bed on which you are gone up, but you shall surely die. So he died, verse 17, according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. And Jehoram reigned instead in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. Now the rest of the acts of Isaiah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? Lord, what a story. Lord, what a teaching, Lord. We ask you this morning that you will instruct us and teach us, Lord. Open the word for each one of us that we may see, Lord, your lessons and your teachings, Lord. Lord, we want to honor you and glorify your name. Lord, thank you for delivering us, for liberating us. So, Lord, help us to learn from the mistakes of others and not do the same mistakes. So, Lord, we want to follow you. We love you. We embrace you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here we have an incredible story. Ahab and Jezebel, dad and mom, they were wicked. And this king learned, this new king that arose, King Ahaziah, he followed the steps of his parents. And he was a wicked king. He was evil. He was a leader. He was the king of Israel. He was leading and reigning in Samaria, the northern kingdom. Now, in Israel, the northern kingdom was divided by the south kingdom. The north kingdom were the 10 tribes of Israel. The southern kingdom were Judah and Benjamin, the two tribes. Down in the south, King Jehoshaphat was reigning at this time. King Ahaziah is now the king of Israel, the northern kingdom. He's been reigning for 2 years, or he's going to reign for 2 years. But something happens to this king, King Ahaziah, this wicked, evil king. Look what it says in verse 2. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. It says in the scriptures that this king, King Ahaziah, this wicked king, he fell off a lattice. He was in his palace, in his house, and it looks like he fell off from the upper room. Maybe a window, it doesn't really tell us. The lattice, I try to find the word, what it really means. But some people said it was maybe an upper room. Some people say it was a window. But this gentleman, this king, he fell, and he's injured. It looks like he's laying in bed. He has a spinal cord injury. He cannot walk. And this king, let me tell you, he's desperate. He doesn't know what to do. He's been laying in bed. And he is asking his messengers, asking people to inquire of the god of Ekron, the god of the Philistines. Now, this king in his state, he's anxious, he's nervous, he's depressed, he's frustrated. He doesn't know about the future. He doesn't know what to do. And he sends some messengers to inquire of the god of Ekron. Now, Ekron is a city 40 miles away out of Israel in a foreign land. 40 miles away, it's southwest of Israel. And he's sending these messengers to inquire of the god of Ekron. Now, the god of Ekron, Jezebel, means the Lord of the Flies. Means a god of the flies. They believed in the Middle East at that time that the Lord of the Flies, this god, this evil god or this pagan god, can protect people from disease or pests or plagues that were coming from flies. So this king, this evil king, instead of looking at the god of Israel, he's sending messengers where? To a pagan god 40 miles away out of Israel to a foreign land, to the Lord of the Flies. To a Lord, to a pagan God that he thinks that can protect him. It is interesting that this king wants to know about the future, wants to know if he's going to get better, what's going to happen later on, what's going to happen in my life, am I going to recover, am I going to be able to walk, what's going to happen with me? And it's interesting to me how people have different views when they're facing death. This king is facing death. He's about to die. He's sick. He's paralyzed. He cannot walk. There's in the Bible, I don't know if you remember, obviously, the two men that were crucified with Jesus. Remember the two men that were crucified with the Lord? They were both thieves. Initially, both of them were mocking, but both of them are facing death. They're crucified. One at the right hand of Jesus, the other at the left hand of Jesus. They're crucified. They're facing death. Their wounds. Interesting, both of them at initially are mocking Jesus. If you're the king, the Christ, get out of the cross, save yourself and save us. But then the one on the left hand, this thief, the one that was crucified, he asked Jesus, if you're really the king, the Christ, save me, deliver me. Interesting, this man who was facing death, this thief on the left, he was interested on what? On his self-being, on the present. He was interested right now in his physical body. He wanted Jesus to save him right now from that punishment. And if Jesus, if you're possible, if you can deliver me from death, take me out of this cross that I can walk out of here. Could Jesus have done that? Could Jesus could have sent an angel to deliver this man that was being crucified at the left hand to deliver this man from the cross? Yes, but Jesus didn't do that. This man was facing death and he was interested, but in his physical body, in the present, right now. I want my wounds healed. I want to get better. I want you to save me from this cross, from this crucifixion. Now, the other guy, the other thief on the right hand, he was facing death, but his priority was different. He was thinking about what? About the future, about his destiny. He was thinking about his soul. Where am I going to spend eternity? Where's my soul going to go? He was not thinking about his physical body. You see, there's two thieves being crucified, facing death, and each of them have a different view and perspective of life. The one on the right told Jesus, Lord, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus said, today, you will be with me in paradise. Two different views, facing death. This king is facing death. He's like the thief on the left. He's thinking about his physical. Am I going to get better? Am I going to heal? Am I going to be able to walk again? But the one on the right hand was thinking about eternity. See, the mistake of King Uzziah, he was not thinking about the eternal, but he was thinking about the what? The temporal. He asked the messengers to go to Ekron, 40 miles away. He wanted to know about the present. He did not seek the Lord. He was not interested in eternal destiny, about his future, about his soul. Interesting enough, we have here at the church the emails that we receive for people that seek prayer requests. And there's people from the church, people out of the church. And I have the tendency when I open the email to pray immediately for their healing, for what they're requesting. But then I realize I'm making a mistake. And maybe I encourage myself this morning, I encourage yourself too when you look up those emails, that you, instead of praying immediately for healing, which is the easiest thing to do, is pray, Lord, is this people saved? Do they know the Lord? Are they walking with you, Jesus? Have they committed their life to you? Have they been transformed by the Holy Spirit? And then I pray for their well-being physically. I pray for their spiritual and I pray for their well-being. This king was not interested in the eternal, but he was interested in the temporal. Now, I see sicknesses and illnesses, and I see believers in the church that have diseases and illnesses. And it breaks my heart because the Lord, they ask the Lord. They ask the Lord for healing. And God heals sometimes. God healed or does not heal sometimes. But sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. And we struggle with that. Lord, you know, I bring my petition to the Lord. This king did not bring any type of petition to the Lord, to the God of Israel. But he's going to a false god. And doing a side note here, you know, sometimes we make petitions and we ask the Lord. But then I realize when he doesn't answer, I realize I say, you know, Lord, I'm glad you did not answer the prayer. Or Lord, I'm glad you did not do this. Because then I realize it was not what I was looking for. There's a story in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 30. There was a lady named Rachel, and Rachel was the wife of Jacob. Rachel did not have children. She was barren. And she asked Jacob, her husband, give me a son or I'll die. And Jacob responded, am I God to have closed your womb? You're the fruit of your womb? And Rachel was desperate. She needed help. She was barren. She had a problem. She had a difficulty. She had a trial. She wanted children. But then the Lord granted her a child. And you remember the story. She had a child, which was the name of, which was Rachel and Jacob's first child? Joseph. Joseph. You know what Joseph means? The word Joseph means, may God add. May God add. Then she wanted another child. And then in Genesis chapter 35, she had another child. And she was struggling during her delivery. She was dying. She was about to die. She was struggling. The complications of delivery of this pregnancy. And she had a son, a second son. And the second son's name was Benoni. And Benoni, the name means the son of affliction. So here we have this lady, Rachel. She has her first son. Give me a son, Lord. And she has her son. And you would think, and I would think, that she would praise the Lord and be thankful for this son. But she says, Joseph, may God add. What is she saying? Lord, I want something else. I want one more thing. Lord, give me one more thing. We would think that she would be fulfilled, satisfied, full, but she wasn't. Joseph, may God add, Lord, give me something else. I had this son, but give me something else. And then she prayed and she had another son. Her name was what? Benoni, which means son of affliction. Lord, I'm not full. I'm not satisfied. I'm not full. I've been asking these requests. Lord, I wanted a child. I think I would be content and fulfilled and satisfied, but I'm not. Joseph, add me more. Give me something else. And then Benoni, the son of affliction, Lord, I'm afflicted, I'm troublesome with this, all these things. But then, what did Jacob do? Jacob, the husband, he was wise enough and changed the name Benoni for who? Who remembers? Benjamin. And Benjamin means the son of my right hand. And who is the son sitting at the right hand of God? Jesus. The son of the right hand of God. May God add, Lord, I'm not satisfied, not fulfilled. Lord, what I'm really craving in life is the son that's sitting at the right hand of God. His name is Jesus. That's the one that fulfills and satisfies. It's the Lord. It's Jesus. And sometimes we have all these requests and these prayer requests, and we think we need this and we think we need that, but in reality, who we're craving for is what? Is Jesus. Not a bigger house, not a bigger place, not a better place, not, yes, finances, yes, a better job, a new career. But in reality, what all of us are craving for is the Son that sits at the right hand of God. We need Jesus. And here we have this king. He's sending messengers to the God of Ekron, to the priest of Baal there in Ekron in this city, 40 miles away. And it's interesting for you and for me. We can get rough on this king and come hard on him. But you know what? Sometimes you and me, we do the same thing. And you may say, what do you mean? What do you mean by that? We do the same thing as this king, seeking other gods and other things. Well, let me tell you what we do on occasions. Sometimes we do not seek the Lord first, but we seek other people. Sometimes you and me, we send messengers or a text message, or we get on Google and we text, we need help. I'm in affliction. I have a problem. I have a difficulty. Maybe I'm lying in bed and I want to make an appointment, or I want to call a friend or a pastor or a counselor. Nothing wrong. But we seek other people first, then we seek the Lord. We seek other people first, then we seek the Lord. And guess what? Who do you think the Lord, or how he feels when we do that? When you and I, when we seek other people, we seek others. We have a trial and a difficulty, and we seek others first. How do you think the Lord feels? How do you think he feels? We break his heart. His heart is broken. Because the Lord wants us to talk to him, to speak to him, to open our hearts. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from me. He wants us to talk to him. He wants fellowship and communion. He wants to hear what's going on, even though he already knows what's going on. But he wants to hear from us. And in this story, King Uzziah, he makes a mistake. Instead of looking or seeking the God of Israel, he sends messengers to Ekron, to a false god. And guess whose heart is broken? The Lord. Look what it says in verse 3. Who appears there in verse 3? But the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord appears and he speaks to Elijah. Interesting. Who is listening? What the king is doing? The angel of the Lord is an appearance of the Old Testament of Jesus, a pre-incarnate state. Jesus appears. Jesus takes it personally. He's looking and seeing what this king Uzziah, this evil and wicked king, is doing, and Jesus gets involved. It breaks his heart, and he gets involved, and he speaks to Elijah because he has a work for Elijah to do. Guess what happens when you and I, when we seek people first and we do not seek the Lord first? We're breaking God's heart, and he gets involved. He takes it personally. Lord, forgive me when I do that. Lord, forgive me when I do not seek you first and I seek others. When I have a problem and a difficulty and I rush to other people and I do a text message or I send messengers or a message, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for not speaking to you first and not inquiring about you. And here we have the angel of the Lord, verse 3. Look what it says. He says to Elijah the Tishbite, "Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say unto them, is there not, because there's not a God in Israel, that you go inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus says the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which you are gone up, but you shall surely die." And Elijah departed. So the Lord gets involved, the angel of the Lord. He appears in this story suddenly, seeing what this king, this foolish and stubborn king, he does. Instead of seeking the God of Israel, he appears to Elijah and gives him a message. He says, "Surely, you shall surely die." This king had committed idolatry. He was seeking false God. He was leading the nation in the wrong direction. This king was guilty. This king, his sentence was to die, physically death. But the interesting part is this king is not interested in the eternal God. He's not interested in the eternal destiny where his soul is going to be. And then it continues and says, when the messengers... Verse 5, and when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, "Why are you now turned back?" And they said unto him, "There came a man up to meet us and said to us, 'Go, turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto them, thus says the Lord, it is not because there's not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub.'" So Elijah, this man, the Lord speaks to Elijah to intercept the messengers. And Elijah gives him the word of the Lord, the word of God. Elijah here is old man. He's old. And one of the things about Elijah that I like, Elijah and Caleb, at the end of their lives, they're still walking with the Lord. They're still walking with Jesus, walking with him. And the Lord speaks to Elijah and gives him a message. And he gives the message to the messengers to go back to the king. Now, it is interesting to me that when you read this, that the messengers did not know who Elijah was. They did not recognize him. They said a man who came and returned, and this man who was a hairy man in verse 8 and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And then the king recognized it. It was Elijah. But it was something interesting to note is that when this Elijah, when he intercepted the messengers, he gave the word of God, "This king shall surely die," that the messengers turned immediately. So the question is, why would the messengers turn? Why did they turn and go back to the king? Because Elijah, this man, spoke the word of God, and the word of God is powerful, has authority, it impacts, it impresses. These messengers of the king should have gone to Ekron, where the king had sent them. But guess what? The word of God impacted these messengers. There was something about Elijah, about the word of God, and these men returned to the king. They did not do what the king had ordered them to do. They turned back and went back to the king to tell them that this man had approached him in the street or in the city and told him about this. You know, when we speak the word of God, people are going to listen. And it's going to be with authority, with power. It's going to impact. It's going to change people's life, even though they realize it or not. It touches the heart. It touches the deepest part of a person, of an individual. It touches the soul. When you speak the word of God to somebody, even though they don't recognize it or they realize it or acknowledge it, these people are going to be impacted. These messengers were impacted. Elijah spoke truthfully the word of God. He was consistent and persistent. He did not change God's word, but he spoke it as it was. And these messengers came back to the king and informed him what this man had said. "King, you will surely die. You will not get out of your bed." Interesting that Elijah, at this age, he was always available for the Lord. Always available. You know, something happened to me at the hospital where I work. If some of you don't know, but I work as a nurse practitioner in the emergency room. And I was sitting there at my chair doing a charting, a history, and this woman, this coworker of mine, a female, she's about maybe in her 50s, she says to me, I need a personal favor from you. And my antennas went up. Wow, just that minute that I had while I get out of my desk and talk to her, I was thinking, well, at last, you know, maybe I can share the Lord, maybe I can share my faith. Maybe this lady saw something in me different. You know, maybe I can share about eternal life or about something spiritual. And that was my thinking. But then when I got near to her and she said, I have a personal favor, I asked you, well, how can I help? What's going on? And she said to me, I want you to hook me up. And I said, excuse me? Yes, I want you to hook me up. And I said, I don't understand. What do you mean? Well, she said to me, the doctor that you're working with, I really like him. And I said, really? You know, all this time I was thinking I was going to share the gospel, or she was going to ask me something profound, a counsel or something spiritual. You know, like Elijah, he's sitting there and the Lord speaks to him and the Lord uses him. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, wow, the Lord is going to use me with this coworker. And she comes and asks me, can you hook me up with the doctor that I really like him? And then I turned, I was kind of, I didn't know, I was surprised, you know. And then I said, you know, but he's married. And she said, well, he just got recently divorced. I said, really? And so I was struggling for a week, and every time I saw her at work, she would do faces to me. Have you told him? Have you told him about this? And then I told my wife, praise the Lord for my wife, and then I didn't know what to do. I asked my wife, what should I do? And she said, just tell him. So I went back, and I kind of prepared everything, went to the doctor's office, opened the door, closed the door behind me, and I said, you know, I have something personal to tell you. I said, I'm really embarrassed, but man, I was struggling with this. Don't get me wrong. And he said, well, what's going on? I said, well, this coworker of ours, she says she really likes you. And she said, well, I'm really flattered. He says to me, I'm really flattered. And then he said, well, I just got back with my wife. And I said, praise the Lord, man. I'm so happy for you. Praise the Lord. You see, I was at a desert place. You know, Elijah was there in this area. He's old, 80 years old sometimes, but he's faithful. He's available. The Lord speaks to him. He's ready. The Lord spoke to me, I thought, but it was not something that I could do. You know, sometimes we think the Lord is going to use us in a situation, but maybe sometimes not. And I was there and I thought, wow, this is it. You know, my Christianity, you know, what a blessing. But to finish the story, several weeks later after that, I had a lady who I was seeing, and she came because of general weakness, and I talked to her and see what's going on and what, you know, why is this causing, and kind of doing some tests. And then, ma'am, you know, I don't know, she was maybe in her 50s maybe, and I said, ma'am, her name was Jamie. Ma'am, I don't know, I don't see anything. And then I always ask all these people, you know, are you suicidal, homicidal, are you depressed, anxious, you take drugs, you know, anything like that? Do you hearing voices, seeing things, you talk about all these things. And then I discharged her, and then one of the nurses said, you know, the lady in room 5 needs to talk to you. She's crying. And I went back, and she said, yeah, you know, you asked me about depression. I think I'm depressed and anxious. I don't have purpose in my life, you know. And I said, you know, ma'am, there's a God in heaven who loves you, and he sent his son Jesus. And he is the answer of life. He will fulfill and give you a purpose in life. Because she said, I'll have no purpose. And Jesus will give you a purpose in life. So we prayed together. She received Christ. What I'm trying to say is that sometimes we need to be available. We think that the Lord is going to use us in this moment, and maybe not. Maybe just to hook somebody up. But maybe another time, you know, we need to be available. And Elijah, this man was available. He was faithful. He was with his message. He did not change the message. He spoke the word. He told the messengers what to tell the king. And the interesting part to me of the story also is that the messengers did not recognize Elijah. Elijah was well known in Israel. He had rebuked King Ahaziah, mom and dad, Ahab and Jezebel many times. And the servants of the king should have known who Elijah was. But accordingly to this, they did not know, because the king asked for a description of this man who met them, who met the messengers there in the road. And let me read to you verse 7. He says, and what manner of man was he which came unto you to meet you? and told you these words. This is King Uzziah inquiring the messengers, why, who told you these things? And they described this man, verse 8, he was a hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. So with the description of these messengers, that he was a hairy man, maybe he had beard and hair in his hands and his legs. He also had a camel, a girdle or a camel, camel's hair, which is a sign of repentance. So this man, the description, Elijah, the king said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. And then the king obviously was very angry with Elijah. Elijah told him the word of the Lord, you're surely going to die, you're not going to get up. So the king was upset and mad, and he wanted Elijah to be arrested. And what does he do? In verse 9, he sends, the king sent a captain of 50 with his 50. So the captain plus 50 soldiers to go arrest Elijah. Now tell me, to arrest one man, are you going to send 50 men? Are you going to send an army, a battalion to arrest one gentleman, one man, a hairy man, a dude probably without teeth there in the desert? Really? A man of God? Are you going to send all this battalion army against him? But the king did. He was angry. He was upset. He was disturbed. He wanted to hear something different. Now, let me tell you something. One another possibility why this king sent messengers to Ekron, to another god, a pagan god, 40 miles away out of Israel, and not to the God of Israel, which he should have. He known better. He knew the history, the stories, the battle. He knew Jericho. He knew the parting of the Red Sea, the deliverance of Egypt. This king knew everything about God, about Jehovah. But he went to another god. But another possibility is that this king knew already the answer. Knew already the answer, and he did not want to hear it again. He did not want to hear the truth. How many people do we know that they don't seek the Lord, the true and living God, but they seek other things, world religions, palm readers, the stars for guidance, or they seek other things because they want to hear something different. They want to hear something different. They don't want to hear what the Lord has to say. They already know what the Lord has to say. And what is that? Turn, repent, submit, confess, open your heart, receive him in your life, receive Jesus. They don't want to hear that. So another possibility of this king of not going to the God of Israel and seeking something else was that he wanted to hear something different. And there are many people like that, that they don't want to turn to God. They want to try something else. Let's try over there. Let's try over there. Let's go over here and see if I get another answer, something that I like. So this king was seeking something different. So he sends in verse 9, a captain of 50, and he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of a hill, and he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king has said, come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and your 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Now, this captain and his 50 should have known better. They're following the orders of the king. They're come with authority, with power, with defiance. This captain and his 50 against Elijah, a man of God, a prophet of God. They're coming and not honoring God and honoring his prophet. The king does not give orders to a prophet of God. The prophet of God instructs and teaches a king of Israel, according to the law of the Old Testament. So this king, in doing that, sending a captain, is in defiance. He's acting against God. He's not honoring God and his prophet. So Elijah, when he sees this, he says, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and you're 50. Now, one of the things that we realize when we see this, we say, wow, this is kind of harsh. When I first read this, man, this is kind of harsh. But the captain is 50. They're guilty. They're going against God's law. They're complicit. They're participating in the sins of the king. Even the messengers going and looking for another god in Ekron, they're participating. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 9, the Bible says, if a man or a woman, a brother or sister, I'm paraphrasing, a man, a brother or sister, entices you to seek another god, let that man be put to death, or that woman. If a person entices you to seek another god out of Israel, a false god, that man or that woman needs to be executed. So the word of God says, if you're seeking another god and somebody's enticing you, like this king, he's going astray with the people, he's looking for false god, the messengers are complicit, the captain and his 50 are complicit, they're guilty, they're breaking God's law. So when we see it in that perspective, we see, wow, the fire came down from heaven. God judged them. God judged their sin because God is just. He is holy. He was justified. What he is doing is right. He brought down fire from heaven and consumed them. Now, Elijah said, if I am a man of God like you're saying, let's let God decide by fire. Because the word man of God, when this captain has said, thou man of God, what he's basically saying is just a saying in those days, like when you say, hey, preacher, or hey, preacher for there, thou man of God, he's just a little title that this captain, he's not really recognizing that this man is a man of God. Because if this man is recognizing this captain, if he recognizes that Elijah's a man of God, he would have not come in the way he came, with disrespect, not honoring, you know, but in submission and in fear. You know, fear of the Lord and fear of his prophet, of this man of God. But this captain was arrogant and prideful. And the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And fire came down from heaven. Who sent the fire? God. Did Elijah send the fire? No. God came from heaven. God sent the fire and consumed them. God judged the captain of his 50. Now in verse, 11. Again, also he sent unto him another captain of 50 and his 50. And he said unto him, verse 11, O man of God, come quickly, says the king. So after the report of the first captain and his 50 were fired, were burned, the king did not turn. He's still stubborn and hard. He doesn't want to turn or repent. You know, one of the things that really blesses me when I see this story, just a side note, when God tells the king that he's going to die, he's not going to get up out of his bed, but surely die, I see God's grace. God's grace. I say, what do you mean? Well, God is so gracious and so good. He tells the king that he's not going to get better, but he's going to die. And God is giving the king time to what? To repent, to turn, to change, to submit, commit your life. Change your ways, King Ahaziah. This is not right what you're doing. Do it differently. Go a different direction. Put your house in order, King Uzziah. And we see the grace of God. God is so gracious. He gives time to the king to repent and to change. But the king, in verse 11, he says again, he was mad and he sent another captain of his 50. And the captain of his 50 does the same thing. Isn't that ridiculous? I mean, you would have thought that you'll learn from the mistakes of others, wouldn't you? My prayer today, Lord, help me to learn of the mistakes of others so I will not commit the same mistake. So this captain of 50 does the same thing. But look what it says in verse 11. He says, O man of God, thou hast said, the king said, come down quickly. If you compare it with the other man in verse 9, he said, come down, the first captain. This captain, the second one in verse 11, he added the word quickly. He said, come down now, quickly. Obey the orders of the king. This guy was more guilty, this second captain. He should have learned, should have known better, should have learned the lesson. You know, I'm breaking God's law. I should not obey the king, but I should obey the God of heaven, obey the Lord. But this second captain and his 50 were also burned. Look what it says in verse 12. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and your 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed this man and his 50. And then the king sent again a third battalion. Can you imagine the king how hard this man is? I mean, he sees his captain, his 50 burned. Then he sees another captain, his 50 burned. And this king continues sending captain to arrest Elijah, to bring him in. Probably in the king's mind, he wants to kill Elijah, this man of God, because he told and gave the word of the Lord, which was, king, you will not get out of your bed, but you will surely die. So this king, Ahaziah, is angry and upset, and he wants to get rid of Elijah. That's what it seems like. And he sends a third captain. And guess what happens in verse 13? And came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in your sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burned the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in your sight. The third captain learned a lesson. He was aware. You know, interesting how the Lord is so gracious and good, so good that he warns us. Were these captains warned? Yes. Does the Lord warn us, the world, every human being, through the scriptures, that there's one day a judgment coming? That fire is going to come down from heaven during the great tribulation? That each man is going to be judged by their actions and their words, and if they believed or not in Jesus Christ? The Lord has warned us. This third captain, he was warned, and he understood, he was wise. He said, I'm going to approach the prophet in a different way. I'm not going to do the same mistake that these other two captains and their 50 did. Two captains and 100 men are already dead. And I can imagine the expression of this third captain when he comes to seek Elijah. I mean, he sees the ground over there all burned, and he smells the smell of fire. Man, this captain is, whoa, what is going on here? You know, and he approaches the prophet differently. In humility and humble and respect, he honors Elijah as a prophet. He honors God. And he comes, remember Elijah's on top of the hill. This third captain, he goes where Elijah was. The other two captains stayed below. This third captain, he went and sought Elijah and get on his knees in humility and in respect and honoring the prophet of God. And then it says in verse 15, and the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him. Be not afraid of the third captain. And Elijah arose and went down with him to the king. And he said unto him, that is, Elijah met the king now personally. Now he met him personally. Thus says the Lord, for as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, it is not because there's no god in Israel to inquire of his word. Therefore thou shalt not come down out of that bed which you are gone up, but you shall surely die. So here Elijah at the end meets the king. And Elijah tells the king the word of the Lord, the word of God, the same message. He did not change it. He did not water it down. He was precise, concise. Even though Elijah was maybe a little afraid, intimidated with this big king, powerful king, he told the truth. He told it how it was. And it's striking for me that this Elijah wasn't killed. He looks like he wasn't arrested either. And the king didn't offer, like the kings in those days, offered bribes and gold and silver to change their word or change the story or change the word of God. The king did not offer anything to this man. And Elijah was faithful to the end. He spoke the word, spoke the truth. He was precise and concise. He spoke God's word. Now, in this chapter, we read several times, is not there a God in Israel that you shall seek the God of Ekron, Beelzebub? The question is there not a God in Israel? And the answer is yes. There is a God in Israel. See, you and I, we as Christians, we have a message to share. We need to speak up. There is a God in Israel. And the God of Israel sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, that whoever believes in him and receive him in his heart shall have eternal life. That is the message. You and I, we have a message to speak. We don't water it down. We tell the truth as it is. We speak it like Elijah. At the end of his life, he is truthful and faithful to the word of God. Lord, help me to be truthful and faithful to the word of God. Now, in closing, I want you to realize or think for a moment with me. See, when I read this passage, there are several thoughts that come into my mind. First of all, I see the fire coming down from heaven. And I say, wow, God is harsh, man. This is hard. You know, all these people burning. But then I realize that God is just and holy and he's justified. Man has sinned, and the wages of sin is death. Mankind is going to pay a price for their sins, for their iniquity. And then I read the story again. I read it the second time, and then it comes to me. Yeah, that's great. All these guys, man, were burned. Man, this is wonderful. The enemies of God, they were all barbecued and burned, and fire came down from heaven. And then I remembered James and John, when they were with Jesus passing through a Samaritan city, and they were rejected. And how James and John told Jesus, Lord, do you want us to call fire from heaven like Elijah did and burn all these Samaritans here? And Jesus said, man, what manner of spirit are you? This is not right what you guys are saying. This is not. See, we have been born by the Spirit. We have a different spirit. See, when I look at the story and I see the fire, I ask the Lord to forgive me because sometimes you and I, we want fire to fall on them. We want fire to fall on you. I want to be judgmental. I want to condemn you. I want to find fault in you, your mistakes and your sin, and I'm judgmental. I want fire, Lord. Get him, Lord. And sometimes I feel like that. But then I go around and say, Lord, let not the fire fall on them. Let not the fire fall on these captains. You're the one that judges. I do not judge. The Bible says, do not judge by appearance. I am not to judge. You are not to judge. The judge is God. But we desire sometimes fire on others that they will be burned because I want to condemn them. I don't agree with them. But I ask the Lord, Lord, not fire on them, but fire on me. Lord, fire on us. Lord, bring the fire upon each one of us this morning. Lord, change my life. Clean us. Purify our iniquities, Lord, the impurities, the imperfections, Lord. Help me to have a gentle spirit. Help me to have a good spirit. Lord, help me to be kind and gracious and merciful and be forgiving, Lord. Help me in my areas of my life. Give me boldness, Lord, like Elijah. Lord, forgive me when I ask fire upon other people. Lord, I want fire upon myself, upon me. Lord, burn me. Burn the bad stuff out of my life. Change me and mold me. Lord, I need you. And I ask the Lord for fire upon my life. And we ask the Lord fire upon your life. I want you to remember this story. Do not seek others first. Seek the Lord first. Remember, don't send messengers, text message. Seek the Lord first. He breaks his heart. Remember that. Remember that everything we ask, sometimes we think it's going to satisfy and fulfill, and we realize it's Joseph. May God add. And sometimes it's Benoni. Wow, what an affliction, what a trouble. And what I'm looking for is Jesus. So let's pray and ask the Lord to change our lives, to mold us. We have a message to share that we will be bold, that the Lord will cast fire upon us, that the fire of the Spirit, the tongues of fire, will come upon each of us, that we will be able to share the Word of God. And to be available, like Elijah. Sometimes, hey, I need a favor from you. Okay, what is it? didn't act the way I was thinking. But other times, hey, an opportunity to come. And people will listen because the Word of God is alive and powerful. Amen? So let's pray. Father in heaven, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace and your goodness, Lord. Lord, forgive us of our sins, Lord. Help us to walk according to you, Lord. Help us to see other people as you see them, Lord. And Lord, I know there's people that are coming for the first time at the church, Lord, their parents. I ask, Lord, that you will touch their lives, Lord, that they will realize that there's a God in heaven, Lord, that you died for our sins. You died in our behalf. You conquered death and you conquered the grave. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins, and we receive you this morning. We thank you, Lord. Lord, I want to pray for the young children, for the VBS, Lord, all the children, Lord. We know that your word goes out and does not return void. Lord, all the effort of the youth, of Haley, all the teachers, all the people that were involved in one way or another, Lord, you will touch these young, precious hearts, Lord, that they will come to know you, Lord. Lord, we realize this king and this story, Lord, he made the wrong choice and following after other gods, Lord. And we want to follow you all the days of our life. So, Lord, bless the children, bless the food people, the food trucks that are coming, Lord, all the inflators, all the things that are going to happen this afternoon and all the play and the time with the youth, with the kids. Lord, bless them, Lord. And once again, we say, we thank you, Jesus. Amen. Lord, bless you guys.